We continue in Masechet Ketubot, Be'ezrat Hashem. We are on Daf Mem Bet Amud Alef, in the beginning of the fourth Perek. Two lines from the top, beginning with the Gemara. This limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Shimon ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Yair ben Tova, סוליקה בת חנה, אסתר בת לדיסיה, לדיסיה בת יקות, את רבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, איבה שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, אין לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. עושו לפרועה שלמה, פר אסתר בת שרה, גבריאלה מסודה בת שרה, חנה בת סוליקה, אין אלישבע בת נטע. The Gemara begins with a question on the Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnah, it told us the various payments that a נערה שנתפתתה, a na'ara that was seduced, is entitled to, such as boshet, pegam, knas, and tsa'ar by the ones, by the rape, which is called tfusa in our Mishnah. So the Gemara begins by asking, Maika Mashmalan, what is our Mishnah teaching us? Tanina, we already learned it earlier in a Mishnah, Daf Lamed Tet Amud Alef. It says openly there, Hamfate noten shelosha devarim vehaones arba'a. The mefate, the seducer, pays three things, and the ones, the rapist, four things. Hamfate noten boshet ubgam uknas. Mosif alav ones shenoten et atzar. The mefate pays boshet, pegam, and kenas. And the ones, the rapist, has an additional payment, which is the tzar. So we know it already from a Mishnah before. The Gemara answers, le'aviha itzterich le. The key word in the Mishnah is le'aviha, which means our Mishnah is teaching us that all these payments go to the father. Asks the Gemara, le'aviha nami pshita. I mean, that's also obvious that it goes to the father. Midikayahiv mefate. From the fact that the mefate has to pay the knas, the boshet, and pegam, surely it goes to the father. De'ile atzma, because if he gives it to her, how does that make sense? Amayahiv mefate, why would the mefate, the seducer, have to give her knas and boshet and pegam? Midata avad, it was with her consent, and she forgave it. So surely it goes to the father, because he does not forgive. So we're back to the question, what is the chidush of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, in fact, the main chidush of our Mishnah is amda bedin itzterich aleh. It's necessary for the Mishnah to mention all these cases in order to address the case of amda bedin, where she stood for judgment before the father died. And then, after she stood for judgment, the father died before she had the chance to collect her payment. So in this case, the Mishnah told us that what? Plukta de Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. There is a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan as to whether her brothers, the sons of the father, inherit these payments from the father, or whether the money belongs to the na'ara. So that's what the Gemara concludes here, that the chidush of our Mishnah is not the payments that we know from before. The fact that it goes to the father, we also know, it's obvious. The chidush of the Mishnah is the machloket of Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon regarding when the father dies after Ha'amada Bedin. Tnan Hatam, we learned in a Mishnah there in Masechet Shevuot Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet, we learned the following Mishnah. If someone said to another person, Anasta Ufitita Et Biti, let's say a father comes to someone and he accuses him, he says, "You Anasta, you raped my daughter." Or, Fitita, you seduced my daughter. Doesn't mean both, it's either or. Vehu omer lo anasti, velo pititi. The other one denies, and he says, "No, I was not ones, or I was not mefate." To which the father replies, "Mashbi'acha ani, I demand you to swear." Ve'amar amen, and he says, "Amen." Just taking an oath, saying that he did not do anything. Ve'achar kach hoda, and afterwards he admitted that he raped or he seduced the man's daughter. Chayav, he's obligated. He's obligated in the payments of the ones, or the mefate, as well as obligated in the payment of the chomesh. There is an additional fifth upon the principle that a person has to pay in a case where he was asked to swear on something that he denied and he swore, and then he admitted afterwards. So there is asham, a korban asham that he has to bring, and the payment of chomesh, as the Torah tells us in Parashat Vayikra. So he's chayav. Rabbi Shimon poter she'enom mishalem knas al pi atzmo. Rabbi Shimon, however, says he doesn't pay the knas on his own admission. And therefore, since in the beginning, if he would have admitted, he would have been patur from the knas. So even though he denied and he swore falsely, this is not considered a shvuat kfirat mamon. This is not the case of one who swears on a denial of a monetary obligation upon which one is chayav, one is obligated to pay the fifth and the asham, because he's not considered to have taken a shvuah in denial of a monetary charge, because he wouldn't have been obligated to pay this fine on the basis of his own admission. He would have been patur to pay if he would have admitted. So therefore, this is not a shvuah on kfirat mamon. He's not swearing on denying any obligation of payment, because potentially he wasn't obligated to pay. If he would have admitted on the spot, he would have been patur. So Rabbi Shimon says, "Eno meshalem knas al pi atzmo." Therefore, he doesn't have to pay all these things that the Chachamim said. Amru lo, the Chachamim answered back to Rabbi Shimon, "Af al pi she'eno meshalem knas al pi atzmo, aval meshalem boshet upgam al pi atzmo." It's true that the knas he would not have to pay by his own admission, but he would have to pay the boshet and pigam. So therefore, when he denied before, and he said, lo anasti, he was denying a monetary claim. Because even if he would have admitted, yeah, he would have been patur from the knas, but not from boshet tupgam, and therefore his shvuah, the false shvuah that he took, obligates him to pay the keren and chomesh, the korban asham, and the one-fifth, because he would have paid, if he would have admitted, he would have paid boshet upgam. So the shvuah was a swear, a false denial, on a false denial of a monetary charge. That's what Chachamim answered Rabbi Shimon there in the Mishnah. So now, in light of this Mishnah, Be'amine Abaye Merabba. Abaye asked the question from Rabba. Ha'omer lechavero anasta ufitita et biti. Someone who says to another, you were ones, or you were mefate, my daughter. Ve'he'ematicha bedin. And you remember, I made you stand in judgment for what you did. Ve'nitchayavta li mamon. And you were found obligated to pay me money, but you didn't pay up. And what does the guy answer back? Ve'hu omer, lo anasti ve'lo pititi ve'lo he'ematani bedin ve'lo nitchayavti lecha mamon. He denied everything. I didn't stand in judgment, and you did not find me obligated to pay any money. I don't know what you're talking about. Venishba, and he swore about it, that he's telling the truth. And then afterwards, vehoda, he admitted. So asks Abaye from Rabba, le Rabbi Shimon mai. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, what would be the halakha in this case? Rabbi Shimon said before that being that when he denied, he was denying something that if he would have admitted, he would have been patu. Modeh biknas is patu. So the shvuah is not a shvuah on a denial of a monetary charge. And therefore he's not chayav the keren and the korban of Hashem. But what about in this case? Kevan de amad bedin? Since now we know that he did stand trial, right? And the Bedin ordered him to pay. So do we say now, mamona havai? Although initially it's a knas, but once the Bedin charges him to pay and obligates him to pay, now it turns into mamon. Umichya vale korban shvua. And when he denied it, he's denying a monetary charge. And mimela now when he admits, he's chayav to bring a korban of shvuat kfirat mamon. Or do we say, afal gav de'amad bedin, despite the fact that he was ordered in bedin to pay it, knas havi, it still stays in the status of a knas, and therefore Rabbi Shimon would hold in this case as well that he would be patu. Amar le, Rabba answered Abaye, mamona havi. It is considered now mamon, which means once the bedin, once he stands trial and the bedin order him to pay the knas, now the knas turns into the status of mamon. And once he swore falsely to deny it, Now he would be, even according to Rabbi Shimon, he would be obligated in bringing the korban on this shvua, the korban Hashem, and paying the chomesh. So on this, Abaye asked Rabba, etivei, he asked him a contradiction from a braita. It states in the braita, Rabbi Shimon omer, yachol haomer lachavero, anasta ufitita et biti, vehu omer lo anasti velo fititi. Rabbi Shimon says, a person could have thought to say, in a case where a person says to another, you were me'anes, my daughter, or you were mefate, my daughter, and he says, no, he denies either claim. Or in a case of hemit shorecha et avdi, someone claims, your shor killed my slave. Vehu omer lo hemit, and he denies it. Or another case, oshamar lo avdo, hi palta et chini vesimita et eni. His eved, the slave of a master, tells his master, you knocked out my tooth, or you knocked out my eye. Vehu omer lo hipalti velo simiti, and he denies it. Venishba, and then there was a shvua about it. Vehoda, and he admitted. Yachol yehe chayav. Rabbi Shimon says, shall we say that he's liable, that he's obligated to bring the korban of shvuat kfirat mamon? Talmud Lomar, says Rabbi Shimon. What does it say in the Pasuk? It states, V'chihesh ba'amito b'fikadon o b'tzumet yad. And if anyone deals falsely with his neighbor, V'chihesh ba'amito b'fikadon, in a matter of a pikadon, a deposit, o b'tzumet yad, or a pledge, o b'gazel, or robbery, o ashak et amito, or he oppressed his friend, o matza aveda vechicheshba, or he found something lost and he falsely denied it. Venishbal shaker, and he swore falsely. So all these cases are brought together in the pasuk regarding the korban of asham gezelot when one swears falsely to deny. So Rabbi Shimon says, ma elu miyuchadim shehem mamon. Just like all these matters on the list in the pasuk have one common thing, that they are monetary obligations. They're equal in value to the loss that the person caused, meaning they're not knas, they are mamon. Af kol shehen mamon. So this halakha of the korban asham and the chomesh applies only to claims that are mamon, monetary. Yatzu elu shehem knas, which excludes all these cases that I brought before, says Rabbi Shimon, such as anasta pititait biti, or hemicho chait avdi, or and the like. These are knasot, shehem knas, these are fines, and therefore the korban, the din of the korban, would not apply. Now that's the braita. Turns around the baye and he asks, Rabba, mai lav b'she'amad b'din? Is the braita not referring to a case where he already stood in Bedin, he already stood trial in the Bedin, and yet Rabbi Shimon does not obligate him in the Korban. He doesn't hold that once he stood trial, it's considered Mamun. No, Mashma, it stays as a Knas, not like you answered Rabba. Answers Rabba, no, Bishalo Amad Bedin. That Braita is referring to a situation where he did not yet stand trial, and therefore it's still a Knas, and therefore the Shavua on that is not a shvuat kfirat mamon, rather is kofir in a knas, where if he would admit it, he would have been patu. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says over there, he's not chayav the korban. But Abaye asked, what do you mean? How could you say that? V'hamidereisha b'she'amad bedin, seifanami b'she'amad bedin. But from the fact that the first part of the braita is talking about a case of amad bedin, so that means the seifa also, that part of the braita that was quoted just before, which is the Seifa, also is talking about Amad Bedin. What's the Reisha? What's the first part of the Braita, which is clearly talking about Amad Bedin? The Katani Reisha, it states in the Reisha of that Braita as follows. En li ela devarim shemeshalemim alehem et hakeren. I only know the din of bringing the Korban Hashem and the Chomesh only on matters shemeshalemim alehem et hakeren, for which a person just pays the principal. But let's say, asks the Braita, Tashlume Kefel, Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha, the case of when one has to pay Kefel double for stealing, or the 4 and 5 for stealing the sheep.
Ve'ha'ones ve'amfateh u'motzi shemra, and the knas of the rapist and the seducer and the motzi shemra, the one who defames her reputation. Minayin? How do we know that in all these cases they're also included in the chiyuv of the korban asham for someone who swears falsely? Talmud lomar u'ma'ala ma'al riba. The pasuk says, if anyone sins u'ma'ala ma'al and commits a ma'al, a trespass. So now this double usage of the word, this extra, this kfelut lashon u'ma'ala ma'al riba, comes to include, what is it including? Any shvua that is taken in denial of any kind of monetary liability. So now, that's the reisha, right? So now Abaye still has to show us that that is talking about amad bedin. So Abaye analyzes, he says, Hechidami, now how is the case here? Idelo amad bedin, if we're talking about a situation where he did not yet stand trial, kfela mi'ika, how could it be a case of a double payment? Everyone agrees that one who admits that he stole is exempt from paying kefil, right? And yet this obligation is mentioned in the Braita. That mean, and that's only possible if Amad Bedin, which means he was denying it, and he stood trial, and they said that he stole, so he has to pay kefil, right? Because idelo amad bedin kfela mi'ika, there is no kefel when lo amad bedin ela pshita b'she'amad bedin. So must be the reisha is talking about where he stood trial. Oh, umidereisha b'she'amad bedin seifa nami b'she'amad bedin. So that means the seifa is also talking about amad bedin. So Rabbi, you cannot tell me that that statement of Rabbi Shimon in the seifa of the Braita is talking about when he did not yet stand trial. No, it must be talking also about where he stood trial, and yet he considers it still a knas. And not mamon. Amarle, so Rabbi answers Abaye, he says like this, you know what? Yachilna leshanui elach, I could have answered you very simply. I could say, Resha b'she'amad bedin, v'seifa b'she'lo amad bedin. The Resha is in fact talking about a scenario where they stood trial already. V'seifa, and the latter part of the Braita, b'she'lo amad bedin. V'kula Rabbi Shimon hi. And the entire Braita is according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Which means, according to this answer, Rabbi Shimon agrees, he admits, that after one is already obligated by the Bedin, so then the Kefel, for example, attains the status of Mamon, and it's not Knas. And therefore, in the first case, in the Braita, he is obligated to bring the Korban, because since it's talking about b'she'amad bedin, so therefore it became mamon, and it's not knas. And in the seifa, it's b'she'lo amad bedin. So Rabbi is saying to Abaye, I could have answered you that way. However, you know what? I'm not going to answer like that. V'shinuye dechike lo meshanin alach. I don't want to answer you a far-fetched answer. Because you'll tell me, dimken amart li, because if I'm going to tell you this answer, you're going to ask me, litni reisha Rabbi Shimon omer. If you're telling me the entire Braita is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, how come it doesn't state from the beginning of the Braita, Rabbi Shimon says? Or litni seifa divrei Rabbi Shimon, or at least at the end of the entire Braita, it should say, these are the words of Rabbi Shimon. Why does it say in the middle, Rabbi Shimon omer? So you're going to ask me, it's dochak, it's far-fetched to say that the entire Braita is Rabbi Shimon. No, so therefore I'm not going to answer like that. Ela, rather, Rabba continues and he says, I will answer you this way. Kula b'she'amad bedin. The entire Braita is referring to a case that they stood trial. They were in the Bedin. As for the difference in the halakha, where in the Resha we see that the Braita says that he has to pay the Chomesh and he has to bring the Korban, and in the Seifa we see that he does not, because it's considered a Knas. Well, because V'Resha Rabbanan V'Seifa Rabbi Shimon. The Resha is going according to Rabbanan, who holds that one is chayav to bring the korban asham after one stood trial, because bedin were mechayev, and therefore it's a shvua of kfirat mamon. And the seifa is Rabbi Shimon, who holds that he's patur from bringing the korban. Umodin alach, and Rabba adds, and he says, I admit to you, Abaye, Leinyan korban shvua, regarding the chiyuv of bringing the korban shvua, derachamana patre, that Hashem exempt him from his poter him from bringing this korban here. Mi vekihesh, from the pasuk vekihesh, and he deals falsely, which shows us that one is chayav to bring the korban only if he lied about a claim that was originally a monetary obligation. That's where Rabbi Shimon, he says that he's patur from the korban shvua, because in the beginning it was a case of knas, and therefore he's patur. V'chi ka'amina mamon havi, Rabbi is explaining himself and saying, this that I told you before, that it's considered mamon after ha'amada bedin, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not le'inyan, it's not regarding bringing the korban, rather lehorisho levanav. That's only in regards to inheriting it to his sons, which means the one who is entitled to this payment, he is able lehorisho levanav. That's the extent where I say that even according to Rabbi Shimon, after ha'amada bedin, it's called mamon. Meaning, if it was considered a knas does not pass by inheritance to the children. In this case, however, after ha'amada bedin, once the bedin ordered to pay the father of the na'ara, so then it's considered mamon to the point that lehorisho levanav, that if the father died, the sons inherit the right to that payment. Etive, Abaye immediately raised a question to this last point from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon Omer, im lo ispika ligvot ad shemet av, if she didn't have a chance to collect the payments before the father died, hare hen shel atzma, it goes to herself. Ve'i amart mamon havi lo risho levanav, but you, Rabbi, you're telling me that it's mamon to the extent that it is inherited to the children. Le'atzma amai. So why does it go, to her? De'achin ba'i meheve. The brothers should inherit it. You just told me that it's considered mamon that is inherited by the children. This is a strong question that Abaye asked on Rabba's teaching. Again, let's summarize. Rabba held in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, Rabba told Abaye that Rabbi Shimon holds that after ha'amada bedin, it's considered mamon. Once the ones stands trial, so now the fine, what used to be a knas, now becomes mamon, a monetary payment, because now he's mechuyav to pay by order of the bedin. So it's mamon, right? Okay, and now, and Rabbi explained that it's only mamon to the extent of lehorisho levanav, not to the inyan of korban. Yes, it's true that by the korban, he would not have to bring the korban of asham gezelot. That's only in the case where something is originally mamon, not something that is originally knas. But it is mamon to the effect that it is lehorisho levanav, it is inherited to the children. On this, Abaye is asking a bomb question. But we see openly in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon says that after ha'amada bedin, if the father dies before the collection was able to be made, it goes to her. It doesn't go to the brothers. If you're telling me it's mamon le'orisho levanav, it should go to the brothers. The Gemara, in fact, tells us, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hai milta kashai ba Rabba ve'Rav Yosef esrin ve'tartin shenin. In fact, this kushya that Abaye had was difficult for Rabba and Rav Yosef for 22 years without resolution. 22 years. As long as Rabba was sitting as the Rosh Yeshiva, ve'lo ifrak, and they didn't have a resolution, they didn't have an answer to it. Ad yativ Rav Yosef Beresha, until Rav Yosef took over as the Rosh Yeshiva, as we know after the 22 years that Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef was the one who took over when Rabba passed away. And when Rav Yosef became the Rosh Yeshiva, they found an answer to this question. Uperka. Uperka means he answered this kushya. And what was the answer? Shani hatam. Over there is different. The case of the knas of ones umfateh is different. De amar kra venatan ha'isha shochev ima la'avi ha'na'ara 50 kasef. and the ones and or the mifate has to give the father of the young woman 50 shekels of kesef, of silver. From here we learn lo zikta Torah la'av ela mishaat netina. The Torah entitles the father to this money only from the time of giving, which means that if the father dies before the collecting, before the giving of the money, so then he does not give over this right to the money to his children. When is it that he has the right on the money? Only at the time of collection. But before the time of collection, even after Ha'amada Bedin, when it comes to Knas of Ones Umfateh, he doesn't have a right to it, and the daughter is considered to take her father's place, and she receives the money. The money is paid to her in that case. V'chika amar Rabba, and as to regarding what Rabba said before, that Rabbi Shimon says, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, Mamon Ahavi, that after Ha'amada Bedin, it's considered Mamon Lohorisho Levanav, this that Rabba says it is inherited, he's not talking about the Knas of Ones Umfateh. Bishar Knasot, he's talking about all other cases of Knas, such as Kefel, Tashlume Arba V'chamisha, all the other cases of Knas, that's where we say that after Ha'amada Bedin, after standing trial, it becomes already Mamon, and Lehorisho Levanav, and he inherits it to his children. However, Knas of Ones Umfateh is an exception to this rule because of the pasuk that says, Venatan ha'isha shochev ima la'avi anara. When does the avi anara get it? Venatan, at the time of collection. Before the time of collection, he doesn't have a right to it yet, even though it's after Amada Bedin. So the Gemara asks on this, well, Ela Me'ata, according to this, why do you say that only the Knas of Ones Umfateh is the exception? By the case of the Eved, Ela Me'ata Gabe Eved, by the case of the slave that someone's shul killed the Eved, so the din is that the master of the owner of the shul has to pay 30 shkalim, Dichtiv Kesef Sheloshim Shekalim, Yiten Ladonav. Oh, Yiten. Shall we say over here also that the Torah is only entitling the master from the time of Yiten, from the time of giving, and not before, even after Ha'amada Bedin? And yet, you told me that the only exception is the Knas of Ones Umfateh, whereas all other Knasot, Rabba says, Ha'amada Bedin makes it Mamon. But wait a second, it says by this Knas, it says, Kesef Sheloshim Shekalim Yiten Ladonav. So that's another exception, no? And says the Gemara, no, there's a difference. Yiten Lechud, Venatan Lechud. Over here it says, Yiten, shall give. By the case of Knas of Ones Umfateh, by the father, it says, Venatan, and he shall give. So the first one, when it says Yiten, which is regarding the ox that killed the slave, that does not indicate to us that he acquires the right to the money only from the moment that is given. Venatan, the Lashon of Venatan, that does indicate that only at the time of Netina does the father have the right to the money. As Rashi explains, Yiten mashma lashon tzivui uleolam. When it says Yiten, Yiten means it's a command. He shall give. It means he always has to give. It's forever. Venatan mashma davar anatun gvar. When it says Venatan, he only has a right at the time that it was given. That's all. But that right is not from beforehand. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, if you're telling me that the main source for the halacha, that when it was taught in the Braita by Rabbi Shimon, that in the case of Knas of Ones Umfateh, he's not chayav to bring the Korban of Asham, you're telling me that the main source for this is from the word Venatan Laviana, because that the father is only entitled to it from Sha'at Netina. But beforehand, even after Ha'amada Bedin, he's not entitled to it yet. And that's how we know that Knas of Ones Umfateh is the exception. It's different than all other Knasot. That even after Amada Bedin, it's still not considered Mamon, it's still considered a Knas. If that's the source, if the Limud is from the word Venatan, so why is it that in the Braita Rabbi Shimon, when he was telling us the Halacha, he said, Talmud Lomar Vechichesh. He learns it from the Pasuk Vechichesh. Mashma that the source is from the words Vechichesh Ba'amito. In that whole pasuk that Rabbi Shimon brought. But why did he bring that pasuk? He should have brought the pasuk Venatan. So let's read the question inside now. Ihachi, if so, Talmud Lomar v'chichesh. Rabbi Shimon says, Talmud Lomar, we learn it from the word v'chichesh. No, Talmud Lomar v'natan mi ba'ele. It should have said, Talmud Lomar, we learn it from the words v'natan. Because this is the pasuk that teaches us that the payment of knas ones umfate is considered a knas even after ha'amada bedin. Amarava, Rava answers that. Ki itzterich v'chichesh. Why is it necessary to bring the proof from the pasuk of v'kihesh? Kegon she'amda bedin, in regards to a situation where the na'ara, she was brought to trial, she stood trial when she was still a na'ara, and the bedin ruled in her favor, that the ones has to pay her, u'bagra, and then she reached her bagrut, she reached the age of a grown woman, which is 12 and a half. She's no longer a na'ara. Umeta. And subsequently, she died before the money was paid to her. So, dehatam ki kayarit aviha minadida kayarit. Over there, in that case, after she died, the father would actually get the payment of the knas. Because ki kayarit aviha, when the father is inheriting, minadida kayarit, he's inheriting it from her. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, if he was not able to pay before she became a bogeret, once she becomes a bogeret, she is now entitled to the money. Right? Even before the knas came to her hands, it's already belonging to her once she becomes a bogeret. And when she dies, the father is inheriting his daughter. And so therefore, in that case, it's different. In that case, he's already zoche, even before, he's entitled to the money, even before it came to his hands. That's where we need the pasuk of v'kichesh, not v'natan, the pasuk of v'kichesh, that in that case also, there is no obligation on the person who denied in the beginning to bring the chomesh and the asham and the korban asham. Why? Because this is something that was a knas in the beginning. The korban asham is only on something that originally is considered a mamon. So now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if so, now that you tell me that the braita before the Rabbi Shimon says that he's patur from bringing a korban, is talking about ha'amada bedin. Remember, Rabba said when he's patur from bringing a korban, even after it's ha'amada bedin. Now, after ha'amada bedin, it's considered mamon, right? Well, ihachi yatzu elu shehen knas, quote unquote. Why did the braita say this comes to exclude these cases that are knas, mamon hu? But what do you mean after ha'amada bedin, it's considered mamon? Like this case that you just said, where the daughter died after she became a bogeret and the father inherits her. So now it's as a din of mamon. It's not a din of a knas, it's after ha'amada bedin. So why does it say yatzu elu shehem knas? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, the Braita means to say yatzu elu sheikaran knas. You're right, currently now it's mamon. After ha'amada bedin, it's considered mamon. But the exclusion is because originally they were knas, these cases. In the beginning, it was a knas. Only after ha'amada bedin, it turns into mamon. That's what it means, yatzu elu shein knas. Yatzu elu sheikaran knas. These are excluded because originally they were a knas. So, once again, where are we holding? That we're learning the shita of Rabbi Shimon based on the explanation of Rabba, that although originally it's a knas by the ones umfate, but after ha'amada bedin, once they stood trial, it's considered mamon. It turns into the status of mamon, not in regards to being obligated to bring the korban asham. No, the korban asham, Rabba says he agrees that according to Rabbi Shimon, he still doesn't have to bring the korban asham when he swears falsely to deny the claim. So the korban asham, that is not paid because this is something that originally is a knas. This that it's considered mamon after ha'amada bedin is lehorisho levanav, as we said before, that he inherits it to his children. So that's the explanation of Rabba on Rabbi Shimon. Etivei. So Abaye once again now asks a contradiction on Rabbah from the Mishnah now in Masechet Shavuot that we mentioned before, that we learned before. What does it say in the Mishnah there? Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon holds that he is patur from Chomesh and the Korban Asham. Who is patur? The Ones Umfate, who denied doing anything, and he swore falsely, and then he admitted that he did. So Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, he doesn't have to bring the Korban Asham and pay the Chomesh. He argues with Tanakama. She'eno mishanem knas al pi atzmo. Because the knas he does not have to pay by his own admission, which means, as we explained before, that if in the beginning he would have admitted to the truth, he would have been patur from the knas, right? So therefore, even when he denied it and he swore, that's not considered swearing falsely on a monetary claim, because it's not a monetary claim. It's a fine that if he would have admitted, he would have been patur. So it's not considered shvuat kfirat mamon that he should be chayav, a korban, asham, and chomesh. Right? That's a Mishnah in Shvuot that we mentioned on Amud Aleph. So now, Abayez Medayek, Tama Delo Amad Bedin. It seems like from the Mishnah, that when is Rabbi Shimon saying this din that he is patur? It's only if he did not stand trial, because that's when Rabbi Shimon can say that if he were to admit, he would not have to pay on his own. Hare Rabbi Shimon is explaining himself and he's saying, why is he patur? She'eno mishanim knas al pi atzmo. Right? Now this, eno mishanim knas al pi atzmo, you're talking about before ha'amada bedin. Once it's ha'amada bedin, it's not al pi atzmo anymore. So it's before ha'amada bedin, right? So when is Rabbi Shimon saying patur from the korban and from the chomesh? It's only tama, only when delo amad bedin. Ha amad bedin, mashma, if he would have already stood trial, de mishalem al pi atzmo, where according to the pirush of Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, he would have to then pay, because it's not, even if he were to admit after ha'amada bedin, because it's no longer a knas. Now it's mamon after ha'amada bedin. Mashma korban shvua nami michayev. Mashma, he would also have to bring the korban in that case also. So why is it that Rabbi Shimon in the Braita before is saying, we learn from the Pasuk Vekichesh, and we explained that it's talking about Hamada Bedin, that even after Hamada Bedin is patur from bringing the Korban of the Shvua, from the Pasuk Vekichesh. Why do we say he's patur? How does Rabbi Shimon say that he's patur? But in this Mishnah, he's saying he's only patur if it's before Hamada Bedin. But after Hamada Bedin, he would be chayav in the korban also. So it comes out, according to Rabbah's explanation, we have a stira in Rabbi Shimon between the Mishnah in Shvuot and this Braita. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ledivrehem de Rabbanan ka'amar lehu. The words of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, where he says that the ones umfateh is patur from the korban, because eno meshalem knas al pi atzmo, he's only going in the opinion of Rabbanan. He's saying to them as follows, Ledidi, according to me, afal gav da amad bedin, even after ha'amada bedin, and it's considered mamon, rachamana patremi vekihesh, the pasuk already, I hold that the pasuk makes him patur, Hashem exempts him from the korban because of vekihesh. Vekihesh is only on something that originally was mamon, not something that originally was knas. But Ela Ledit Chuber, according to you, that you don't learn from the Pasuk Vekichesh to exclude something that is originally Knas. Oduli Miha Techa, at least admit to me, in a case de Lo Amad Bedin, that before there was Hamada Bedin, the Ki Katava, Knasa Katava, that over here it is totally a Knas that he's being charged. Umodebi knas patur, and one who is admitting in a knas is patur, and therefore the shvuah that he took was not a shvuat kfirat mamon. It's a shvuah of kfirah of knas. According to you, at least before Hamada Bedin, you should agree with me. V'Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan answered, as we saw in the Mishnah brought before, Rabbanan replied to Rabbi Shimon and said, you're right about the knas, but ki katava boshet u'pgam katava. There's also the payments of boshet and pgam, which are not knas. These are payments of mamon. So when he denies and swears falsely to deny them, that is a shvuat kfirat mamon, and therefore he is chayav, a korban, asham in that case.